You're muted.
Did you get my question to you?
Yeah, I answered it.
But I can't open that. It's something like rmd/service or something.
Just fix it. Fix it.
Oh, yeah, fix it.
Yeah.
So what is it? rmd/fix it?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. I've got no hot water.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Fixit.org, right?
rmd.org/fixit.
rmd.org/fixit.
There's no .org at the end of fix it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. No, that's not right. RMD.
Well, Radamadovdom, right? You're putting Radamadovdom in there.
No, I didn't.
What I sent you is what you need.
It didn't. Yeah, it didn't. It just took me to the website, though, that link, for some reason. It didn't. And I had to log in. I couldn't get there. But this is working now.
Yes.
Fixit-2. Okay. I think. Yeah.
It automatically goes to that fixit-2 thing.
Yeah, got it.
Oh, I'm just going to do this in my office today.
Oh, that's good.
My laptop up here, so.
Mm-hmm.
I decided, instead of going back and forth.
How's the retreat going?
It's good. These guys have been here before, so it's easy, you know.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yep.
Have, because it's our final session together. And we're going to review Mary Lynn's case and also Valerie's case today and hear from them and hear your input from all of them. I want to do a final review summary of our 6 sessions together and what this course has been like for all of us. And then I'll talk to you about some options going forward of possibilities to continuing education and growth and connection together. So that's the plan for today. So why don't we start with just a brief check-in? And Chris, do you want to get us started?
I usually have a minute or two to think about it, but hi, everybody. Great to see everybody. I'm here. I'm excited about, you know, hearing how we can continue on, that's for sure. And I'm good.
Great. Thank you, Chris. And if you think of anything else you want to toss back in when we come back around, feel free. Kimberly.
Well, I'm happy to be here with you all today. My son is snowboarding for the first time after breaking his neck. So
wow.
This is keeping my mind off of that. So I'm glad to be with my tribe instead of panicking or being anxious. So happy to be with you all today. Thank you.
Thanks, Kimberly. Lynn. You're on mute still.
There. I'm also feeling like maybe it's this warm weather. I just feel ebullient today, you know. It gets above zero and I'm happy. I'm feeling good.
Good. Thank you, Lynn. Tony.
Hey, I'm super excited to see everybody again. It does seem like forever. Just had some tremendous expansion that's taken place over the last several weeks. I'm super excited to share that with you all later on. But welcome back and let's get this party started.
Thanks, Tony. Jill.
I am just very thankful for this program and what I've learned so far. Feel like I'm in integration phase. So, you know, sometimes I'll get talking with a client and I completely forget, oh yeah, I'm supposed to reflect, and then I start in, you know, or whatever. I'm integrating, and I'm grateful for it.
Great. Thank you, Jill. Mary Lynn.
Hi. I am feeling a little sleepy, and it's cold and rainy here today. I'm going to take a nap right after class. But I'm excited to be here again and share my reflections from my case, and just to wrap up our class together. Yeah.
Great. Thanks, Mary Lynn. And Janet.
Oh, me as well. This has just been an amazing group of people, and the course program, everything that you have offered to us, Laura, has just been so useful. Of course, you and Kimberly and I both contacted you for an issue that was a huge help. You just have no idea how far that radiated out. So I appreciate that. And knowing that all of you are there, I could contact any one of you to get some support. So I really appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to what we're going to do next. This is just the end of this program. I'm ready for the next one. So
beautiful. Thank you, Janet. I'll be talking about that later. And Kimberly and Tony also, because their modules will be coming up soon too. Valerie.
Well, I'm feeling really grateful that I finally got a case study person and have successfully gotten that done. That was a huge relief. It's been a lot of work. The internal work is going on big time, and I'm grateful that we're finally moving into that.
I love that you said that, Valerie, about the internal work going on, because I'm going to talk about that for a minute too. And that's one of the things that I just love so much about this way of working, because it actually forces us to work on our own stuff, because it'll continue to show up because it'll get in the way, you know, when we're working with our clients. That's the only thing that gets in the way, actually, is our own internal work. So thanks for mentioning that. Steph.
Hey. So I'm excited to be here with everybody and learn today, like usual. And yeah, it feels really good to see everybody and hear the check-ins. And yeah, obviously I still have a lot of work to do, but maybe I'm going to do this course again, probably. So that's okay. And I got a ton out of it, like tons and tons every time that I watch a video or that somebody shares, I learn something. So
great. There are so many people who do this program twice and do the classes, different classes twice, because there's so much. And the interesting thing about doing that is oftentimes we're in such a reaction the first time around that we can't integrate with the left brain entirely, because we're processing so deeply. So that's very common, and it's also really beautifully advisable to do that. So thanks for naming that for us. Deborah.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year to everyone. I have been really working on a lot of stuff in the area of forgiveness and about the internal work that goes with that. And it's experiential type stuff that I've been doing for myself and that, and taking it in bits and pieces. And I now am meditating like 45 minutes to an hour and every day. And if I miss it, then I feel like I'm not whole. So it's been a really, really good thing. And I've been getting more into the forgiveness aspect of, you know, so that you can actually go from your head to your heart and to open that up. And because if we don't go from the learning aspect of what's in our head to get down and to feel it in our body, where there's a stuck pattern, then you're not going to be able to open up your heart more. And so we have to go through the suffering and the hurt before we can actually, you know, have that energy, you know, restored in our body. So that's what I've been learning about myself. So
beautiful, Deborah. That's great. Thank you for sharing that. I love that piece on forgiveness. It's just sort of a constant reminder for me too. So thank you. Mm-hmm. Good. Michelle.
Yeah. So yeah, this class has come and gone pretty quickly. I really enjoyed having everyone together, and thank you, Laura, Tony, Kim, Lynn, and really all of us being teachers to each other. Today, check-in, I am a little low on energy today. I went out last night, for whatever reason, I was in a big crowd, and it just seemed to, I'm still trying to reground. So I'm here and present, but I may take a little time out to take care of that.
Okay. I'm glad you're here, Michelle. Good. And let's see, Lynn, we got you already, right? So anybody else? I got everybody? Okay, with a check-in. Good, good. Okay, so I think what I would love to do today is to actually, I have a little PowerPoint review, but it's of the whole series. So I think I would love to start with Valerie and Mary Lynn and your presentations first and talk about that. And so Valerie, would you kick us off for that and get us started? And you'll have about 15 minutes, each of you, to share about your experience of doing your case study. So why don't you tell us whatever you want to say first, Valerie, and then we'll open it up to the group, and then I'll give some notes. And you and I already spoke personally, as well as Mary Lynn and myself. So Valerie, take it away.
Ooh, okay. I feel really very grateful to have Jeannie as my case study. I think it was a really good match. In the first session, thank goodness, it came from the call when we were going to see whether or not we wanted to work together, and it went so well that it just kind of morphed right into the first session. So that really helped me to get over that initial shock of getting started. Because of my tendency to get overbound up with rules, I told myself, I'm just going to throw the rules out the window. I'm just going to be me as much as I can be and make a space for her and see where it goes. And it went really deep on that first session. I was really amazed. And I think in that session, we laid a lot of the foundations for what she was working on in the second session. She did most of the work in the second session. So and that was good because I was processing my own stuff in the background. I was trying to be as present with her as possible, but my stuff was definitely coming up. And but I think the big thing was to create the safe space for her to go into some deep things, some issues that she had not really talked about much to anybody until recently. Mm-hmm. And then, let's see. I think that what we saw in this session was her exploring feelings about Ava. And I think that has ties to help us bridge into a lot of the other deeper issues that we haven't really covered. We've talked about them, but we haven't really gone into the emotions of them yet. So that's yet to come. I think she was doing a lot of processing while she was talking. Sometimes I was a little concerned about not reflecting much and not summarizing, but I really felt like I didn't want to interrupt her because she was doing so much processing. And I really felt like she would go emotionally deep and then kind of come back up a little bit to take a breather, and then we would go back in again. So, of course, as I told Laura, the first time when I watched that back, I was cringing. I don't like to hear my voice. There's other things I don't like about myself, which I'm working on. And I saw everything I did wrong. Mm-hmm. And then Laura suggested that I rewatch it from a more objective point of view, which I finally did. And that was very helpful. It was better. I still can feel the emotions that I was feeling when I turned the recording off. When I got close to that point, when I was rewatching it, all those emotions were started coming back up again. So, but I can see that this was a really good learning experience. It was really hard. It was really uncomfortable with the recording going and knowing that everybody was going to see it. And I'm still processing. I had a great session with Kimberly to help process some of this. So I am very grateful for the experience, and I know I have to just keep going through the discomfort. And maybe this time I'll actually get the issues to the point where they're not stopping me from doing what I've been wanting to do for most of my life.
Mm-hmm. You know, before we open it up to other people to share, I would love if you could say a little bit more about when you watched it that additional time, and you said, and it was different. And I appreciate all the things that you're saying too about, you know, all the emotions that came back up again. And I love that you have such a strong objective observer on that, Valerie, for yourself, and that that's the work that you're taking to Kimberly, and that that's helping you to integrate. But what did you, would you share with us what changed when you watched it again? Like, how did you see it differently when you did go back that additional time and look at it?
Well, I'm realizing just how much I try to measure myself up by standards that really aren't reasonable, and the perfectionism and all that. And it really helped, especially the first night when I got the feedback from you. That helped a lot. That helped to disarm a lot of the what was going rampant in my brain about how I screwed that whole thing up. And then, we spent a little bit of time going through that. So that gave me the first kick to look at it differently. And then Kimberly and I spent more time talking about it. And that was just such a great point to work on things, was talking about my reactions and the discomfort and all. And so by the time, I didn't watch it again until last night. So by that time, I've had a lot of time to think about it and to see it in a different light. And so it did land differently.
That's so beautiful. I mean, just think how, you know, what you're processing trauma, right? That's what you're doing. And just think how available that's going to make you, and sensitive that's going to make you to your clients who are processing trauma with you, who will be processing trauma with you. So beautiful. So before I say any more, I want to open it up to Valerie. Did you feel complete? Was there anything more you wanted to add before we open it up to the group?
Well, I just wanted to say, I can't really put it into words, but it's amazing to see how it's all coming together and how deep, and just, like I said, I can't really put it into words, but when the trauma that you're processing, you're doing it with a client and you're the one processing, and you're, it really makes it an interesting situation.
Yes, indeed.
So I think I'm going to try to cut myself more slack.
Okay.
That's it.
Thank you. So anybody want to respond to, you know, what jumped out at you around seeing Valerie's session?
I meant to send you a note, Valerie, and I don't think I did. But when I watched your video, I had no idea you were processing a lot of stuff. I just saw you with a quiet presence for your client that allowed her to explore all those deep feelings. And somehow you were creating some space for her to do some exploration that she apparently, as you said, had never done before and has only recently just been tapping into. And so, yeah, give yourself some slack there.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Valerie, this is Jill. I too felt a feeling of compassion towards her. And I like Mary Lynn, I did not sense your all of this stuff going on in your head behind the scenes, if that's what it was. I felt that you were really there, and I felt she was heard. And, you know, to me, that means that you were listening and you were reflecting well, because I felt she was heard and needed to have that space. And I too felt like it was I don't know what was going on, you know, for you, but it felt like a good match for the two of you too. So good job.
Thank you.
Hey, Valerie. I would like to have you feel another saying instead of saying, maybe I'm going to cut myself some slack, maybe say, I'm going to celebrate what just happened. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different energy. Yeah. I don't want you to celebrate, because I'm going to help. I'm going to celebrate with you, because I know a little bit about your background. As she was reaching those tender spots, I was paying attention to you. You maintained so much calm and containment. That was so impressive. That, you know, even with my experience, it's so difficult for me sometimes when I hear people's tender spots and they hit mine too. So I want to celebrate that with you, because that was amazing to watch you contain and stay calm and allow her to continue to talk about those tender spots. Because it would have been so, I think, easy to go in there with her. That was amazing what you did.
Oh, thank you.
Awesome job. Celebrating success.
Thank you.
I agree with Tony. I when I saw that it was your presentation, I was so excited to see it. I couldn't wait to see. I knew you were going to be fine. We've only known each other for a few years now. We spent a lot of time in the pool in Florida catching things out. So I knew, I just had a sense there was a lot going on in your mind as well, because you are a very, very deep person. Mm-hmm. And you're so gentle and so caring for other people. So the more I could see the care coming out that you were offering her and giving her the space and doing all the things that Laura has taught us to do, and our questioning and being present for them, I could feel a little of the struggle just because I know you. I could see a little bit of it in your eyes, and I'm thinking, well, you go, girl, you've got this. I was so excited for you. You did an amazing job, Valerie. Good for you. Big hugs.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Beautiful. Okay, so I want to talk about a few more points. First of all, I want to just concur with all the feedback everybody gave, which is beautiful. And I'm especially impressed by your own ability to self-assess where you are in your work, Valerie, which is beautiful. I think the thing that jumped out at me most when I first saw your piece, and I already mentioned this to you, but I'll just say it again for everybody in the group as well, is your warmth and your compassion. That is a healing presence, just that in and of itself. If you did nothing else right, quote, right, whatever that means, just that is healing itself. And that was so palpable, was so clear, it was so potent. Just your warmth, your compassion, and your full attentiveness to her. The other thing I want to just say is that, you know, you mentioned you didn't do a lot of talking, and I think a lot of that is because you didn't need to do much with her. She was doing so much, as you said, of the work of her own. And that session was a really great example of what I call authentic processing versus looping. And I was kind of watching for that. And I want to mention that to all of you, because I want you all to watch when there's that much processing and that much crying going on that kind of goes on and on and on. Is she in a loop, or is she really processing stuff that she needed to say and talk about? And I really think it was very authentic for her. and you gave her the room. You didn't try to control the session. You let her take the lead in that regard. It was a beautiful judgment call on your part to do that, to give her the space to really authentically process so much that was going on. So no wonder she said, oh, I feel so much better at the end, because you held the space for her. You gave her tons of room to do that. So I really want to just, you know, name that for everybody, because that's not nearly always the case, but in this case, it certainly was. I also love what you just shared with us about this recording, about using the recording as a learning tool for yourself. And that one of the things is, and you got this feedback from several people just now, we really can't tell, and neither can the client, what's going on inside of you. Most of us, we really can't tell. And so you've got your own internal story happening, and you will always have your own internal story happening, and they will always have their own internal story happening. But the focus, of course, we want to keep on them. And so I'll just say for myself, how I manage that is, if I feel a reaction coming up in me, in a reactivity or an insecurity or a negative, whatever, I'll just go, oh, check mark, Laura, you're going to bring that to your therapist. And I'll put it on the shelf. And that's what I call it. I put a check mark in my mind. I put it over here so I can stay as present as possible with the client, because this is not my time to work it out. It's their time to work out their inner process. So I really like that you were able to stay present with her even while this flood of stuff was going on inside of you. There was still so much of you that was available for her. Okay, so I just want to see if there's any other specific notes that you and I discussed that might be helpful for everybody to hear. There's a few places, and I think this is a little bit universal for a lot of you, where I feel like some specific questions could take the client a little bit deeper. Like at one point, and you did reflect this beautifully, she was kind of touching her upper chest, and you said, and you brought attention to that, and you said, what's happening there in your body? And she kind of responded. And I think, I think there you could maybe have been a little bit more directive of like, so say more about what that's like in your body, to help her to keep integrating. And I would suggest that for your future sessions with her to help her to keep integrating her physiological experience with the emotion. And she made an interesting comment at one point. She said it felt safer to not let that come up. I would be very curious to ask what would happen if that did come up, right? Now, timing on that might not have been appropriate to ask it right then, because there was already a lot of emotion, you know, in movement. But I want to bring that up as a point for all of us, because at some point your client is going to name their deepest fear. And that's the point where you're going to say to them, well, what would happen if you did, you know, die? Or if you did, you know, run into, you know, your dreaded enemy in the grocery store, if that's their deepest fear. Or if you did, whatever, what would happen? Let's talk about that. And if you can bring your client into that deepest fear, it's so helpful for them, because I don't know that I can't say that I have ever seen someone not feel relieved after talking about or moving toward or going into their deepest fear, whatever that is. So sometimes that doesn't come till we're several, you know, quite a few sessions in deep with our client, because, you know, you want a lot of trust to be established. You certainly most likely don't want to do it in your first session, but I wanted to just use this as an opportunity to bring that point out, to be listening for that. You know, when somebody says, oh, I don't want that to come up, or I never want to feel that, there are times when it is appropriate to go, yeah, okay, let's regulate, let's move away from that. And there are other times where it's like, we've got to face the demon to know that it doesn't have control of us anymore. So another way that I often will talk about that is, what's the feared fantasy? And it's interesting because your clients will give you these clues all the time. They'll go, I know this doesn't make any sense, but, you know, I'm afraid that such and such will happen. Like, I'll get fired if I tell my boss, you know, my daughter is sick and I can't come into work today. Okay, so what's the feared fantasy? So let's say you do tell your boss. Let's say he does fire you. Let's talk about that, right? So it's a question I'm going to give to you to use frequently. What's the feared fantasy? We know it's a fantasy. Let's talk about it, okay? So that's another one of those gold questions that you can use. Okay. And on that same topic or on that same note, at some point in time, almost always, if you're going to do more extended, deep work with your client, you're going to need to talk about death. And that's a theme that we haven't had a chance to really talk too much about in this class, but it's something that I would like to talk about in a future course with you, which maybe we can bring that theme into the complex cases course. But at some point, there's a fear of death that's sort of that underlying behind lots of things. And you're going to be working with people with lots of serious illnesses. I mean, you're all nutritional health coaches. So they're going to be facing their death. So the first question is, how are you at facing your own death? What are your thoughts about your own death? How do you want to die? What do you want if you even have the opportunity or the I call it a privilege. Not everybody thinks that or would think that, but to feel that you're dying, because I had that privilege of think, okay, I'm dying. My body was dying. There was no question. And I got to, you know, every day I would wake up and go, oh, I'm alive today. Okay, it's a good day. I'm alive. And so at some point, you know, it's an invitation that you're going to probably want to look at for yourself, what comes up for you around your death and dying process, so that you can really be fearlessly present for your clients when they are faced with that. Okay. Beautiful. You switched to educate to teaching mode at one point. You said, you know, and you said this is a safe place to explore those feelings. That was just a beautiful that this is a place to allow emotion. I want to just also offer this to you also. For your compliant endurer clients, if you tell them this is a safe place to have emotion and you should allow emotion, you want to also let them know that they don't have to force anything or fake anything, because your compliant clients are going to think, oh, I have to cry for you, or this isn't a good session. Okay? Want you to really hear that your compliant clients, if you talk about this, it's okay to cry, you're allowed to cry, it's good to cry. If you don't give them the opposite permission also, and you don't have to force anything or make anything up for this to be of value to you. That's so I want to just toss that into the pot, because you gave her permission, which was beautiful. And I don't think this was an issue for her at all, Valerie, or you with her, but it made me think of that I wanted to bring that up to all of you. Okay, lovely compassion, great question. How did it feel to have those emotions coming up again? I loved that you said that. And great response for her, I feel better. So, and that's where I want to encourage all of you to linger longer in the positives. Tell me about feeling better in your body. How do you notice that? What's that like? You know, is it, you know, say more about feeling better. Oh, it's really a surprise. I didn't know I could talk about this thing that happened with Ava and feel better about it. Right. So we really want to, this is again what Diana Focia calls metaprocessing. I love that term. So we're processing, we're going to take it down to down, 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 deeper, deeper, deeper. Okay. good, interesting to hear the similarities and then bring, yeah. So nice work, Valerie. And so anything else before we move on to Mary Lynn that you want to say as we wrap this up?
No, I don't think so. Oh, but back to the compliant client. I recognized that in the first session that she would probably tend to be pretty compliant. And that's why I told her she was in charge. And that if we went into something she didn't want to talk about, just to let me know. So I think she feels pretty comfortable that she can, I'll keep an eye on that.
Good. Beautiful. Yeah. No, I think you're good. I think you're right on with her. I just wanted to bring that up for those of you who may have more of the that endurer pattern client. So good.
Beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Mary Lynn, you are on.
All right. Well, there's a lot to think about from what you just said. That's lots of good stuff there. But what about my client? This was a big learning for me. She had a very big aha very early in our sessions. The session that you saw was our fifth one, second to the last one. And so early on, she had this big aha about how she wanted to shift her perspective about herself and her family and her work. And she implemented that really quickly and easily, it seemed. So after that, she would, in all the sessions, she would speak about what a good place she was in and how good she was feeling and how she was enjoying so much not having this to-do list and getting more done. And it was really a big deal for her. And my response was, what am I supposed to do now? And I felt like I sensed that there were some little subtle things in the background that could be explored. And somehow I felt like it was my job to nudge her into exploring those. I wanted to challenge her. There's this thing that you've talked about, Laura, between the challenge and the support. And I thought, I need to challenge her. And so I went overboard. And so I got to my mistakes. I had a couple of mistakes here. You know, it was okay. I mean, I did look back at it again, like you did, Valerie, and I thought, oh, okay, it's not that bad. But at the same time, like, oh my God, I was cringing all over the place listening to myself. And the two things that are standing out for me is that I assume that other people's sessions are going to look like my session, that what I do in a session is the standard. And I was like measuring what I was doing with Patty as what I was supposed to do. And it's not, I mean, of course, when you think about that, it's like, we're all different. We're all in different places. We're all doing different things. So so I kind of dropped into my own agenda of wanting her to feel more. I want you to feel more, Patty. And so in the process of doing that, I would not be reflecting as much. And I usually think I'm pretty good at reflecting, but there were times when I just missed opportunities that I could have reflected more for her. And instead of trying to impose what I thought she should be feeling, just to reflect, And what Laura pointed out to me is, and she said a few minutes ago, that the positive experiences, those are big feelings too. And that's what I missed, is reflecting and not only reflecting, but asking more about, tell me more about that feeling of enjoying getting more done without a to-do list. Tell me more about that. And then I think what could have happened is that she would have, by hearing that, come up with her own response to how she felt about her new positive awareness. It's a new perspective about how she wanted to live her life on her own. She didn't need me to be doing that for her. So, anyway, that was my really big, my big learning about how I want to approach my sessions going forward. And I remember Laura, your example about the client you had that talked about that she didn't brush her teeth, and that at the time that seemed almost like a throwaway thing, but you did reflect it, and it turned out to be such an important point for that particular client that we went on to explore lots of other things about her teeth. And so it's that assumption making of what's important or not important for that ex-client. So, yeah.
No, I really appreciate your humbleness, your receptivity, your openness to acknowledge, you know, this learning piece for you. And I got to tell you, every whatever we want to call it, mistake or whatever, I've made every one of those. and then some that you guys haven't made yet. So it's all part of the learning, right? It's all part of the learning. Nonetheless, you really did some lovely things, and you also bring in a very nice warmth. So before I go into more of my feedback, I want to open it up to all of you for your responses to Mary Lynn and what she shared here and her session.
Well, Mary Lynn, this is Jill. I just want to say that I thought it was great that you were perceptive in feeling that you wanted to encourage her to revisit this past thing, and which took her into some regret. And I thought that was really good, that, you know, I mean, we're not always all done with something. And so I thought that was really good. And also I liked how you often had her reflect to where that feels in her body, having her notice that. So anyway, I just really enjoyed watching and listening to you, and you did a great job.
Thanks. Thank you, Jill.
Yeah, I love that you brought that point up too, Jill, because there were a couple places where it was actually very useful for her, where you did, yes, push, but she got value. She ended up getting some value from that.
Yeah.
Steph, I think you had your hand up.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if some of this is coming from you feeling like there were a lot of words coming out of your mouth, and I think that that's a thing that just happens sometimes in some sessions, but you're very disarming to be around, regardless of whatever words are coming out of your mouth. You know, you're very safe, and it's very easy to, like, there were a few things going on, and I think she was like, I'm healed. And you were like, are you? Really? Like, you didn't really have much to go on. Yeah, so I don't know, you know? I think I could somehow drop into what was happening. Maybe she's definitely safe with you. That's clear. you know?
Yeah.
And I love your humor. It's really disarming too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yes.
Comment that I had a session with my client that came in feeling very good, and she didn't want to talk about anything bad. She just wanted to talk about how good she felt. So we talked about how good she felt, and I reflected back to her, which made her feel supported in feeling good because she hadn't felt good in a long time. And it was a very, it was uncomfortable for me because I was all geared up to dig in and get something really kind of messy going and figuring out, and just wanted to feel good. So I appreciated, Mary Lynn, how you worked with that. That is a tricky point. That's a big learning place for me still. And you did a great job.
Excuse me. Any other comments for Mary Lynn or feedback? Okay. Yeah, Lynn.
It was really good for me to watch. Bless you.
Thank you.
To watch you in this process of being there for her and encouraging her, because like everybody's saying, that at least to me, it looked obvious that she felt safe there. She could say, she could say whatever she wanted to, and you were there with her. And that to me was an important thing for me to watch, is how you made this about her. And so you were right there with her. So I just wanted to say thank you.
Thank you, Lynn.
Okay. So, yeah, Tony.
One more thing. Humor can go really badly sometimes or really good. Your humor is always appropriate. I mean, always. It's never inappropriate. It's not used to cover up your own, you know, stuff. But it lightens things up and it responds, like Steph said. So your humor, it's always appropriate. And charming. And disarming. That's a gift. It's a gift.
I love that, Tony. Thank you. That's great.
Yeah. So, and I just want to ditto on everybody's comments to you, Mary Lynn. I agree. And there's some things that really I'd love you to take to heart, because you're hearing some strengths that you have, right? Your charm, your humor, your availability, your warmth. So these are all real, strong, natural characteristics for you, to know that they're there kind of effortlessly. They're just sort of wired into part of who you are. Okay, so I want to just a couple of things. Nice opening, grounding and centering with her. I liked how you did that. Took a couple minutes to do that. And then again, to bring in that question. And for any of you who decide to do any kind of little opening exercise or something, I think it's very important to bring in how was that for you? I think this came up with Tony's thing too. Like, how was that for you to do that those little exercises, that take that couple of minutes and do that? Because if they say it was terrible, it sucked, I hate it, you know, it feels like a waste of time, or I loved it, it was so helpful, I'm really glad we did that, right? So this is important feedback. You want to honor and respect whatever they tell you. If this doesn't work for you, we don't have to do it in the future. I'm glad you told me that. Is there anything that might be helpful for getting us connected and grounded? I find it useful for me. How about if we just do a couple deep breaths together, because that helps me feel connected to you. So it's still fair to bring in your need, right? And they want you to be able to be at your best for them. But you might want to adjust it or adapt it to what their need is. Nice warm connection with her. Good repeating back the main point. Doing more, not having a schedule. I like that you repeated that. You did some nice reflecting there. this is a cool, this is something that this client did with you that I want to point out to everybody, because it's a common thing that happens in sessions with clients. You will hear them say, and she did, as she did with you, does that make sense? Right? They'll say something to you and then they'll go, does that make sense? And if a client ever asks you that, it's really important. They really need validation. They're really asking for validation from you. So I think what you did, Mary Lynn, was you answered yes, which is fine, but they need more than that typically. They typically need, yeah, it makes sense. Here's what I heard you say. So in that moment, just doing a little bit more, even just reflecting back what they said, even if they said, I feel like I'm going to explode into 1,000 pieces. Does that make sense? Yeah, I really heard you say that you feel, the feeling you're having is you feel like you're going to explode into 1,000 pieces. You don't have to say, no, that's crazy. You're not going to explode into 1,000 pieces, right? You don't want to disvalidate their feeling. You want to validate it by repeating it back. Okay. So a couple of things that, and again, you really told on yourself, you know, very, very gracefully just now, Mary Lynn, but just to bring this point out of at one point you said, you asked her, what does that feel like? And I think she answered, and then I think you said something like, instead of, or you said, I can tell you're feeling very good. Instead of presuming anything, or I can't remember exactly what I mean by this note here, but I think it was something about having them say it. I can tell you're feeling really good. How are you feeling right now? Well, I think I'm feeling okay. But it's stronger to say, it feels to me like, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, but what I'm experiencing is that right? So to have them validate their experience, or you got a big smile on your face when you said that, how are you feeling? Or to use the physical cues. So many times people don't even know that they're smiling when they're smiling. So it can be actually really helpful. It might seem obvious to you that, hey, Lynn, you got a big smile on your face right now, right? It might seem obvious to you, but they might not know it themselves. Very often I find that that's the case. Another question that when she said my energy has improved, when we're talking about the positives, I'm going to give you just some of my gold questions that might be helpful, generic ones that might be helpful for all of you. So what do you attribute that to? What do you attribute this good feeling to? Or even just say more about that if you, you know, okay. Okay, I'll come back to that in a minute. Where on the turn is this? Yeah, so one of the classic, I think what you talked about, Mary Lynn, one of the things that you talked about was doing leading questions. So Mary Lynn did a couple of examples for us on leading questions that I want to just make it really clear for everybody, because we all have to fight the urge to do that. But let me tell you why a leading question comes for you, because it's not bad. The reason is you're having an intuition. You had good intuitions about Patty and what she needed. So the real issue is, how do I turn my intuitions into questions for my client, not assumptions? I'm going to say that one more time. How do I turn my intuitions into questions for my client, not assumptions, which really are presumptions? It's presumptuous of us So, for example, you said, give me 1 second, Lynn, and hold that question. Is there something deeper? Is there something deeper here? Is a leading question if she is saying, no, you know, I feel good. She said, I've spent a lot of time visiting my past. And she got a little defensive with that, right? Mm-hmm. I spent a lot of time visiting my past. And you were sort of like wanting her to go into something deeper there. Interestingly enough, if you highlight the positive and reinforce and reflect the positive long enough, eventually they're gonna say something that isn't so positive. And so you're just watching for that and listening to that. And then you can reflect that back. You know, so life is great. Everything is good. And then she actually did say something that everything is really, really good, but there'll be some little, so say more about that part.
And I would notice that when I listen to the video, at some point, I don't know where it was, if it was in this one or some other session, but I missed it entirely because I was so on my path of doing whatever I was doing. And when she finally did get to something that was kind of meaty, I missed the whole thing.
Right. That's a great point, because when we have our agenda, we're not in present time. When we have our own agenda, we're not in present time, and we stop hearing our client. Okay, Lynn, you wanted to jump in with something here.
Well, you were talking about the part with when we get like an intuitive hit or something stands out for us. And that's something that I've struggled with myself. It's like this clarity just comes blooming forward. And it's like, how do I get them, or how do we get on the same lane? You know, because maybe my intuitive hit isn't right, but you know, that's where I struggle with is the kind of questions that, or kind of comments, or how I can, you know, see whether what I'm thinking or feeling is, you know, is in tune with what's best for them.
Yeah, that's a great question. So what I usually do is when I get an intuitive hit, I put it on the shelf with a check mark, because they will provide the opening for the timing for me to ask a question. So if my intuitive hit is you had, you know, molestation in your history, let's say I have that intuitive, and very often that will happen to me before the client knows themselves that they had abuse in their history. Very often. Okay, so I put that check mark on the shelf. I don't presume that that happened for my client. But then when my client says, you know, I don't have any memories from the time I was 8 years old earlier. And I go, oh, tell me about your earliest memory at 8. What happened? What was your life like at 8? So there's my question, right? We start with what's important is the client's awareness, not mine. And I could be wrong. It could be that didn't happen at all. And does it really even matter if they were? Not if it doesn't matter to the client and it's not interfering with their life. So friggin' what? We've all had crappy things happen to us. Okay?
Well, so I'll use Patty as an example. As I was listening towards the end when she was saying, she said something about not being resilient, but then she talked about how she was the middle child and had to take care, you know, she did all these things. And I'm like, hello? And so what would have been for me, because that was that's what came up for me. So how would I have
turn that into a question. She's just said, I took care of oldest or middle, but I took care of the other kids. So how would you turn that into a question around resiliency?
Well, I guess I would say, I hear you saying that you were this, he had this child placement and you were taking care of your brother, making sure that everything was okay, and you know, you studied all the time, so you were this perfect child. But I also heard you saying you didn't feel that you were resilient.
Yeah, you're leading now, because you want her to feel something. It's way simpler than this.
Okay.
Who's got a question? When do you guys bring it in? What would the question be? It's a simple question. Simple. That's a hint. A clue.
So you were the middle child and you took care of. You repeat it, but with a question mark at the end, basically?
No, there's a question. We're going to formulate into a question, right? We want her to know about her resiliency. How did you manage that? How did you do that? Tell me how you did that. You were a kid. Okay. Simple. I'm telling you, you can have this. You should have all of you. I've given you a cheat sheet. Add these questions to your cheat sheet. The same 10 or 20 questions I'm asking over and over and over again. This is not rocket science. How'd you manage that? What was that like? How'd you do that? And it's okay to say, wow, that really touches me, or I'm amazed, but how did you do that? Okay? You guys are asking great questions. Okay, so I want to, Mary Lynn taught me two things. By what happened with her and her session. And I'm going to bring this into the review in a minute, but I want to just state them here, because one of the things that I think happened to you, Mary Lynn, and she and I talked about this already, but I want to share it with all of you, is that she kind of lost sight of what is my main job here as the practitioner, because I'm trying to do too many things. You were trying so hard to be the good student and to, you know, help something happen for this client. So there's really only two things that you have to do. And in a way, they're kind of the same thing. I'm going to boil it down to a nutshell. Number one, building the client's awareness of their incredible essential self. That's your task, to build their awareness and to help them identify more with the amazingness of their essential self. And the second thing is exploring whatever keeps them from being identified with their essential self. And that's it. That's your job. Isn't that awesome?
Wow.
So, Mary Lynn, before I move into the review, is there anything else you want to say, just from kind of what people shared and all this feedback? And
I don't think so. I can't think of anything else right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you too. Thank you for your gutsy sharing with all of us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to go to the screen share now, and I don't know why I'm totally blanking in my brain, but are we done at 12:30 or 1? Does somebody remember? Are we 1.5 hours or 2 hours?
It's 1.
Okay, so we're 2 hours. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Good. So that gives us plenty of time. Except that why am I not seeing how to get to my full screen? I know what the problem is. At least I gotta move you out of the way. All right, well, we're just gonna do it this way.
What, a slideshow?
Yeah. There it is. Thank you. Okay. So helping clients believe transform. This is our last session. Practitioner's job, here's what I just said, right? Help client identify with their essential self and explore what separates them or keeps them from their essential self. Okay. That's it. In a nutshell, our job. Isn't that wonderful? So simple. Okay, trust the process. The biggest problem we have is somewhere along the line we don't trust one of these processes. And the reason we don't trust one of these processes is we need to more fully develop the spiritual quality that is keeping us from that quality. Either it's my centeredness, my state of being, like Deborah was sharing with us that she's now meditating 45 minutes a day. That's going to an hour a day. That's going to keep you developing this incredible sense of being in yourself. Depth of being and centeredness. And the second step is connecting. How am I? Am I open-hearted? Is my system open? Am I, you know, feeling warmth? And is my client able to feel that connection with them? The third step, and this is one of the ones that for many of us is the hardest, is to be in the not knowing place, to be in that, oh shit, I have no idea what to say. I have no idea what to do. Oh my God. Here's your motto. When in doubt, reflect. When in doubt, reflect. When in doubt, reflect. And if you've reflected already, then reflect from the very beginning of your session. Okay, so let's just back up from where we started. And by the time you've reflected from the very beginning, the client will know what they want, where they want to go next. You won't have to. And if they don't know and you don't know, then come back to their first initial presenting complaint or goals. But it buys you time. It gives them a chance to connect to themselves. And if there's a lot of the not knowing going on, then again, on that list of 20 magic questions can be, what was it like to hear me summarize this much so far? We're all, it's so potent and it's so, in a way, sneaky because it's really on them. Their session is on them. You're just helping it be on them because that's really where it belongs. And that's really, in fact, what they want. They want this time to more deeply explore themselves. That's why they're coming to you, so that you can be that blank, reflective, unencumbered state for them. However, we are leaning in a spiritual direction, right? We're leaning in a direction of developing their essential self, their positive qualities. If they're coming to you because they want to learn how to be, you know, a better thief, well, you know, they might not want to be directed into their essential self. So, okay, then tracking. Tracking is tracking the energy. And again, you don't have to be able to perceive energy or see energy. You just have to ask them, what's your breath like? What are you noticing in your body? How'd that feel? Let's stay with that. Okay. And then inquiring, where we turn our intuitions into questions, which is what we were just talking about. Okay. Where, when, and why practitioners get stuck not trusting the process due to a lack of development in a spiritual quality. So if I'm having a hard time with a session, I got to look at, you know, is it an integrity thing for me? Is it a compassion issue I'm having? You know, there are lots of times a client will say something where I'll have a judgment come up in myself. It's like, I don't have compassion for that. It's like they'll say, boy, I was really mean to this person. I was really selfish. I was always grabbing, you know, the bigger piece of cake, and I still want the bigger piece of cake, and I might be sitting there in judgment myself about it. I got to go work on that. Wherever I have a judgment come up, I've got to work on my level of compassion that's reflective of me. If I'm having a hard time with something that a client is saying or doing, or even feeling like I definitely have certain clients who I'm like, okay, this one's a little more challenging to me. They press my buttons. They're annoying to me, you know, for whatever reason. I got to work on that. They're showing me where my work lives. Okay. The three-step process. I don't know why I called this a three-step process, but we'll just go with it for now. Identify the subconscious belief. Okay, it's going to show up as if-then statements, should-not statements, always-never statements. Okay, so when somebody says, well, I just had a client the other day, and she said to me, I can't talk to him about her boyfriend. I can't talk to him about that. He really pisses me off. Well, can you tell him how it made you feel? No, I'm not going to talk to him about that. Well, what would happen if you did? Oh, he would just have a fit. You know, he would yell at me, he would scream at me, and then I would feel like crap, and I'm just not going to do that. So then, you know, my work with her is about exploring what that crappy feeling is, because she has no tolerance for that, what she describes as a crappy feeling. So when we get into the subconscious belief, these are all subconscious beliefs about feelings I can't tolerate, feelings I'm afraid I can't tolerate. I know I should be more disciplined about, you know, my diet, but I just can't do it. You know, well, what's the feeling of that? You know, what would happen if you did or you don't? And so there's a fear of a feeling I can't tolerate. So your job as a practitioner is to help them explore that feeling to discover that they actually can tolerate it. Is that making sense? Okay. This is really big. If you get this, it's so helpful. And in a way, Mary Lynn, that's what you were trying to do, right, with your client. Like, let's go into that feeling so you can discover that you can tolerate it, but we have to do it at the client's pace and time, and we have to follow their lead. Okay, so listen and repeat with an attitude of curiosity and wonder, and then track gestures to sensations. So it starts with gesture, which oftentimes leads to emotion, which can often lead to sensation. I usually, it's a little secret I'll tell, it's not a secret, but just a little hint that might be helpful, is I don't usually, there's two kinds of gestures that you've heard me talk about, right, in over the course, and also in module 6 when we had our live in-person session together. When somebody's just, you know, doing a gesture that's like arbitrary, right? Like, you know, like I'm waving my hands right now. Okay, that's, you know, we might not want to necessarily point that out. Oh, you're waving your hands a lot. But if somebody does a sudden gesture, an unusual gesture, those are usually the subconscious gestures. Like if, you know, something that happens just suddenly, or, you know, that's a subconscious gesture. What just happened? I just saw you tap your face really suddenly. What's going on there? So when a gesture, a subconscious gesture happens, there's usually emotion connected to it. Okay, I don't know. I got really scared. What's going on in your body? Let's tell me about the feeling of the fear. Then we go into our energy questions. Tell me about the feeling of the fear. Where does it live in your body? It's in my throat. Okay, tell me about the feeling in your throat. And then we go into energy language. It feels like I've got cotton in my throat. Oh, tell me about the cotton in your throat. Right, because now we're going into the land of energy language. Okay. So once we're in the land of energy language, then the energy can start to move. And usually energy language takes us into something historical. Oh my God, I'm remembering this moment when somebody tried to choke me, or when I was choking on a piece of food in the cafeteria and I was in fifth grade and everybody started laughing at me. So sensation will often connect to an early childhood memory. And then tears will come, emotion will come, and, oh my God, I'm afraid I'm going to feel it. And this is usually where I start laughing with my client, go, okay, you're not going to die this time. There's nothing in your throat. You didn't eat anything for lunch. It's okay. Let's go feel that sensation. Oh, okay. And then the energy starts to move, and your body might start to twitch, and maybe tears are coming, and then there's this huge expansion that follows. Is this making more sense now that we've kind of gone through the course and everything? It's like, oh yeah, there it is. Okay. So we know about our magic three questions. What's here now? What's your breath like now? Where do you feel this in your body? I kind of talked you through the whole result of that, tracking that downward deeply. And then we had, you know, these are your little clues, your little hints about your client's personality pattern that are going to show up for you. So are they avoiding confrontation? You know, like the client I just told you about, I always think of her because I meet with her on Fridays and then I have you guys on Saturdays. So she's nobody you, any of you know, fortunately. So, avoiding confrontation, she's got a lot of this leaving energy pattern in her system, right? So I very gently work with her toward exploring the sensations of staying present, speaking directly. Okay. The merging pattern, taking responsibility for someone else. These will be the themes in this pattern, right? The merging pattern will be someone who's prone to taking responsibility for someone else. They're the rescuers, right, of the world. They want to, they feel that feeling of fullness by merging. Endurer, not admitting my mistakes, right? So I'll be shamed, I'll be humiliated if I admit what my mistakes are. And then the aggressive pattern, needing to prove myself and to always be right. And then the rigid, you know, perfectionistic and having the last word. Okay. So we also talked about reason, will, and emotion and the gift and the wound of reason, will, and emotion. So reason is, the wound is avoidance. They'll avoid conflict. They'll avoid directness. The gift is serenity. There's something very peaceful about this kind of person. They'll be extremely perfectionistic, they'll be organized, they'll be peaceful. They're the calm in the face of the storm. The will type is the aggressive behavior, and their gift is incredible leadership and fearlessness in leading. And the emotion type, the wound is submission. You know, I'll collapse, I'll give up. And their gift is loving, being loving. So what's most helpful in our practices is if you can identify, first of all, your own tendency. Are you more a reason, will, emotion type? So that then if you're an emotion type and you know that you're the lover, but you get somebody who's a reason type and you want to connect with them, they don't want to connect with you. They just want the analysis. They want the science. They want the strategies. They're not interested in your lovey-dovey stuff. And you're going to feel hurt and you're going to feel like insecure when they, you know, I don't know if I'm still predominantly this. I feel like I'm more, I have a lot of reason. I mean, a lot of them will, and I don't know. I shift back and forth in my different stages. But when I first started this work, I was very much in the emotion type. And I remember when, if a client didn't say to me by the end of the session how great this session was and how fantastic it was and, you know, how much they appreciated me and adored me, I would be so insecure. If they didn't cry in a session, I'd feel so like I failed. And then I would have these clients that would like, okay, thank you. That was really, thank you very much. I'll see you next week. Give me zero feedback. And I would think, I'm never going to hear from them again. They're going to call me up and cancel, or they're never going to schedule again. I'd be shocked when they would call me up to book for another session. So that's just information for me about my personality type or my predominance. It's information for you. When your client comes in and they have a predominance, if you try to be all lovey-dovey with an aggressive type, forget it. They're going to chew you up and spit you out. They won't respect you at all. So we've already talked about this in the personality patterns, but you want to, this is useful for you as a practitioner when you can kind of first assess your client. Okay, so these are our five steps again. We already talked about that. We want to create a healing environment. With the art of inquiry, we turn clients' comments into questions. We talked about that. We want to, as much as possible, use only the client's language. The client actually can get resentful or angry or feel like you don't understand them if you bring in your language. If I ever do, I usually bring that caveat with it. I'll say, you know, this is going to be my word, so tell me if it doesn't fit. And they will often correct me, you know, no, that's not it, it's this. And I go, oh, thank you for clarifying that for me. So if I bring in my language, then I let them know I'm bringing in my language. Tell me if it fits. Highlight the positive, the essential self, and listen for the prescription. We didn't talk too much about this yet, so that's probably not going to be something I can do until we go into more advanced level stuff. Prepare yourself, center in your heart, your essential self, and relax. Connect with breath and soft eye contact. Focus on their essential self. The prescription is in the present and complain. I've talked about that a little bit, but I don't have time really to go into that right now. Reflect core issues. Keep the focus on their experience of the story, not the story itself. Keep the focus on their experience of their story. So for those who are real talkers, who like to go into detail, who like to give you all the details of the story, the details don't matter. You know, I was wearing a red dress when I picked him up. I'll never forget. I was wearing a red dress and I brushed my hair in the car on the way and I couldn't find my hairbrush for us. I had to really dig through. That kind of detail is not helpful. It wastes their time and yours. So this is where I will, when I need to, interrupt my client, politely interrupt. Can I pause you for a minute? I want to know more about what you were actually feeling emotionally or in your body when you were driving that car. Oh, well, I was feeling kind of good, but, and then I remember there was a red light and no, come back to your body for a minute. You have to stay in control of the session. Okay, and track and inquire about the energy and then absolutely, best you can, summarize the session. Okay, assessing the energetics. All of our history occurring in utero, after birth, pre-verbal, and beyond, all our beliefs and emotions have energetic frequencies and form stored within and around our auric field. We change the energy in the tissue to change the issue. So those stored, you know, Upledger calls them energy cysts. Barbara Brennan calls them psychic time conglomerates. Whatever we call them, those energetic frequencies and form drain our physiological health. That's why this piece that you are doing as transpersonal energy healer, healing practitioners, or subconscious cellular healing practitioners, whatever we want to call it, facilitate your client's health exponentially. And this is what is different and unique about what you are doing from what psychotherapists are doing or just energy healers are doing. You are bridging those two worlds and helping them clear those energy cysts out of their system so that their chakras, their holistic health, can function and facilitate their healing much more rapidly. Okay, so summarize the entire session using their words. Highlight the aha moments. Highlight their resilience. Reflect their state at the beginning of the session and how they are at the end. And even if it doesn't seem like they're any different, then you can say that. You know, you started out kind of neutral and we're ending kind of neutral. How is that for you? Do not take it like it's not your job to light them up. It's your job to reflect their state where they are. It's not your job to fix them or cure them or heal them. That healing mechanism lives within them, and it unfolds and it unravels at the exact right timing for them. How did it feel to hear this summary? That you're feeling the same way that you did at the beginning. You know, it feels really validating. It feels really reassuring. It feels like I actually kind of like this feeling. I mean, I'm shocked when I get sometimes answers like that. I'm shocked. Trust the process. You started out feeling really bubbly and giddy, and now you're feeling really kind of somber. What's that? That would be their words, right? If somber was their word. What's that like? You know, it actually feels kind of grounding. You have to be in that not knowing, because you're going to be sitting there like I'm sitting there shitting bricks going, oh my God, I sucked. They feel worse. I'm going to be thinking in my mind, they feel worse than when I started them out. But you know what? It almost never happens that way. And then at some point, we'll talk about when it does happen that way, when you might need to do repair. And then after you get their feedback, how the summary was, discuss follow-up. Okay, what's next? How did you grow from this class? What are you looking for next? And how might I continue to support you? So I'm going to talk about how I, some ideas I have for that too in a minute. But I have to take a pee break. So if anybody else does, please go do that. Otherwise, talk amongst yourself till I come back.
How's everybody been doing?
Yeah, well, I took my pee break already.
That's why I was on. That was why I was off video.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Same here.
Can't hold it anymore.
Yeah. Well, Steph is actually working off hers through her walking right now.
Yeah.
She's doing a little perspiring that way. So did you guys all have a good holiday?
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. That's right. We didn't meet until
yeah,
we haven't talked since before the holiday. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of things have happened. You're going to be turning 60 in March, and I'm going to be, I just turned 59, and
it's a number.
It's right.
Okay, so questions about that, about anything? Yes, Lynn.
Could you talk more, for some reason, that statement about highlighting their resiliency? Can you talk a little bit more about that? Because I feel maybe I've missed something there.
Yeah. So wherever they demonstrated like a success or a win or something that they did really well, right? And you all are doing that. You did that beautifully with both Mary Lynn and Valerie, right? We highlighted their resiliency because that is their essential self. We don't really care that much about our flawed self. Only in how to get it out of the way enough to be able to help us be more and more increasingly identified with our essential self. So wherever they might have made a mention of something that they did well or something that they liked, or so that's in your summary, you want to highlight their resiliency and you want to minimize the flaws, because really in truth, that's the truth. We are that mountain. We're not the clouds. Anybody else? Questions? So while you're percolating on that, I'll just say a little bit about one of the opportunities that's coming up. First of all, I think most of you are already registered, I believe, for Kimberly and Tony, you that signed up for the bundle for Kimberly and Tony's class. I would love for each of you to say just a little bit about that, in case there's somebody who isn't that might be interested in participating in both your classes. I think you guys are so ready for both of these next pieces, and they're really going to help catapult you in your business and in what you might need next. So Kimberly, do you want to go ahead and start us out with what you're offering?
Yeah, sure. I'm super excited to get the opportunity to share some of this knowledge with you guys. The dates are, and you all, I think you all got an email or a phone call about this, but the dates have changed. They're going to be on a Wednesday evening, April 3rd and April 10th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. And my course is called The Energy and the Physiology of Trauma. I loved Laura's slide talking about assessing the energetics, where she said that all of our beliefs and emotions have energetic frequencies and form. And those are stored within and around our auric field. And those energies actually change our physiology in the third dimensional body as well. So I want to give you guys some understanding of how those belief systems and emotions turn into what Candace Pert called the molecules of emotion, right? There is a physiological change that can get really stuck if it's unresolved. So in my course, I'm going to talk about the physiology of more severe toxic stress and trauma, not mild stress and day-to-day stuff, but what is the physiological changes that can happen from severe toxic stress and trauma, and how do we recognize a trauma pattern in a client, and how we can help them to the place of managing it better, and then hopefully give them the tools or refer them out to somebody that can help them resolve that out of their system. So it's just two classes, 2 hours each. So we'll skim the surface, but I think it's a good enough information, a good amount of tools to help you be able to recognize when you're seeing a trauma response in a client, and some tools to help them manage that, and some resources for further support for those clients. So can't wait to share this with you all.
Thank you, Kimberly. It sounds like such a great piece to take us so much deeper in building on, you know, what they've gotten so far. So thanks for that. I'm excited. I'm going to come in too. So, Tony.
Hey, I'm super excited, Kimberly, about your class as well. So my course that I'm excited to present is called Passion to Purpose, the Business of Doing Business. And some of you are have that passion. I can hear it. The purpose is starting to come out. You're feeling a little bit more comfortable. So now, how do we evolve? How do we turn that into a business where we feel successful and we feel satisfied? So a little history about me. I'm fairly smart, so I can be successful at anything, but I wasn't always satisfied with what I did. So I want to share some of the mistakes I made, and more importantly, some ways to avoid that so you can have comfort and joy and peace and ease instead of overwhelmed with starting a business or evolving a business. So that's the first part. And the second part is staying in the essential self while you're doing that business, right? Getting from your head, because you're all so talented and you're so bright, but getting from here to here. So that business reflects who you are and how you want to show up in your business. And all that good information we have, it's all good, but we're gonna use it so you can develop your own unique business that feels right. And those classes, before I get too deep into that, the course is going to be offered in two weekend sessions. They're workshops now. So they're 4 hours each, 11 to 3 p.m. They're going to be on Saturdays. But we're also going to have a 75-minute session about 4 weeks later where you get to present what you're going to do to take your next step. So you're going to be given practical strategies and implementation tools, and then you'll be able to lead that course being able to do something, either start or evolve your business. Well, you'll have the practical tools to stay heart-centered and in your essential self. At least that's the goal.
That's great, Tony. What are the dates? Do you have them handy?
Yeah, I do have them handy. April 27th and May 4th.
Great. And
11 to 3 Central Time. And then the final one, the it'll be on a Wednesday evening, 6 to about 7:15. We will just have a check-in and you'll be able to present, you know, what you're going to do moving forward. Yeah.
That sounds great. Yeah. So for those of you who are really just trying to launch or get more clients or build your business, this is going to be essential for you. Tony is super helpful in that arena, to actually being able to support yourself, to learn how to support yourself and make a living from this.
Yes, powerful thoughts, powerful actions, powerful results, not just for your clients, because we're all into that, right? But you want results for your business, because you can't feel satisfied if you're not experiencing abundance. And if you have powerful thoughts, powerful actions, and powerful results for you and your clients, that's translating into abundance, because you get referrals. And you get clients that will keep coming back and over and over and over again. And that's really how my business is growing, is on those referrals, because my clients are experiencing powerful transformation. So they're marketing for me. And that's what I want to give you, you know, some of those things that I've done to support my business and to achieve abundance and satisfaction with the success. So success is nothing if you don't feel satisfied, if you feel overwhelmed, but you don't feel like you can do it with ease. So it's a combination.
That's great, Tony. Thank you.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Good. So here's what I'm going to offer next, because I know that this has been really useful for everybody. And I'm going to be offering something called Complex Cases. And this is going to be 4 sessions that are going to happen quarterly. So I think the first one is February 27th. Lynn, can you pull the dates up and put them in the chat? Because I had them on a piece of paper, which I'm not finding where I put that little piece of paper with my dates to be able to tell you guys handily. So the first one's coming up pretty soon. It's coming up in just a couple of weeks. And this is going to be an hour and 15 minute sessions. And they're going to be, so we're just going to meet once a quarter. So that those of you who have a practice or have clients, you can bring your questions, you can bring your complex cases. But in each class, I'm going to hit on a theme that has to do with more advanced level work. So, for example, transference and counter-transference will be one of the themes. And boundaries, boundaries might be one of the themes. I want to use this opportunity to talk about what I just was mentioning earlier about prescriptions, like how to work with what the client comes in as they're presenting complaint and turn it into the prescription, how to identify that. It will also be a chance to do a case study, to send to me a case study that I will view. And it's also going to be open to a requirement for those of you who, once you graduate and you want to be on the Find a Practitioner list of recommended healers, continuing education will be required. So it'll be a quarterly requirement once you're graduated. But for you guys, right now, you're far enough along that I'm inviting you in with the other graduates who will be participating in that class. We have a list that's going to go live on, I believe, February 8th is the target date of Find a Recommended Practitioner. And this is a list of Lionheart invited graduates who I have personally selected and invited to participate in that list. You will, once you complete all your requirements, be eligible to apply to be on that list, which is great. Yay, because that's going to be live on the TEH website. And Rita Marie will also be doing an announcement, an annual announcement of that list, which is also really exciting. So you'll be, this class called Consulting for Complex Cases will be open to just you guys and then professional people who are already in a professional practice. The cost of it is $4.95, but if you register for it before Monday, I'm going to give it to you for $3.95 plus a 30-minute personal feedback session on a case. Like, you get to send me a case like you just did in this class, a recording. I'll view it and I'll discuss it with you personally. So you'll get that for free in addition. So that's what that class is about. The first session is February 27th. And then I think Lynn has got all the dates in the chat right now. February 27th, June 5th, September 4th, and December 4th. So that will be a way to continue to work with the skills, and also to get more skills that I'll be talking about, a little bit higher level skills for your practice. So any questions about that or about Tony or Kim's classes before we do our closing? Okay. So, and to register for the Complex Cases course, just email me, use my email address at PayPal to send the payment, because we don't have that live yet on the website. It will be soon, but just email me before Monday and you'll get the discount price and you'll get the 30-minute bonus session with me.
So that's laurafineonline2@gmail.com?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so let's do a little closing on how you are right now, how this was for you today. Many of you, when we did our check-in, had some thoughts and concerns about going on. Now you've heard three options for that. I know that's a terrible way to upsell. We're only supposed to upsell one offer at a time. But it's a chance to ask questions about any of that, or share if there's something, another thought you have in mind about moving ahead, what that might want to be. Feel free to jump in and share that too. So, so Tony, do you want to start with our closing?
I can. So I'm about to cry because I'm just so humbled and honored to have learned from each and every single one of you. I just marvel at the vulnerability that we all showed and the learning and the love that resulted. And there's, I want us to move forward in the world with confidence and share what Laura has graciously shared with us. And if there's any way that I can support you in that, not just to be successful, but, you know, to feel satisfied in the work that you do, because that matters too, right? Please reach out. And thank you, Laura, for all that you do to help us be all that we can be. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Mary Lynn. You're still on mute.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I can't see you. I've lost the picture. But okay, so I'm feeling this this moment in time of shifting from ending where we've just been and then stepping out into all these new possibilities of, it's like exciting and a little bit scary. I am not signed up for your class, Tony, but I want to talk to you about doing that. I got a lot going on this year, but I think I can use your help. So I'll follow up and check with you later. Thank you all for your feedback today. I'm also feeling very humble and very grateful for knowing all of you.
Thank you, Mary Lynn. Kimberly.
And you'll have to mute me because I can't mute myself.
Oh, I'm so grateful for the connection and the community here. And I know from myself in the past how significant supervision and peer groups have been, because often we don't see ourselves real clearly. And having that reflection back, having that feedback from our supervisors like Laura and our leaders and our peers has been, for me personally, so important in my progress forward as a person, but also in my career and my ability as a practitioner. So I'm so grateful for the reflection back from all of you. Thank you. And all the lessons that I've learned from you along the way. And I hope to see you all in future groups like Laura is offering now for more supervision and more peer support, because it's so helpful for us to see our brilliance more clearly through the eyes of others and get real powerful, effective, and supportive feedback. So thank you, Laura, for offering more opportunities for us to have this safe environment to grow and learn and see ourselves more clearly.
My pleasure and my joy. Thank you, Kimberly. Valerie.
I have to ditto what Kimberly just said. It's so amazing. And I remember in September when I freaked out, when I found out what this course was going to entail, and I just didn't think I could do it. And now I'm feeling relieved that I've gotten as far as I have and gotten this presentation done. And I'm very grateful for the support of this group, because this is an incredible group. And I'm really glad that I took this course. So thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Valerie. I'm delighted you did too. Such growth. It's been exciting to see. So thank you. Steph.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to say thank you. I know I've been in a bit of delay getting stuff done. Yeah, just don't mistake that for me not getting a ton out of this course, and from everybody being so vulnerable and open and sharing, and just watching the videos and hearing your reflections on yourself and each other. I got so much out of this. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Thanks. It's always great to have you here, Steph. So thanks for being here. Lynn.
I have much thanks and appreciation for everybody here. I feel like we're like walking buddies. We're on this path, and as we walk along and we talk and we share and help us to learn more about each other. And my confidence in myself is I've had lots of aha moments, so thank you for everybody. And thank you, Laura, for creating this safe space for us to be.
You're so welcome, Lynn. Thank you. Thank you for all you bring also to create that safety. It's great. Michelle, are you still with us?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I lost it when I, moved, the camera went out. So, I want to thank everyone so for this time together. I loved Lynn's description of walking buddies. That really resonates. So I appreciate that we have so many walking buddies. And thank you again, Laura. Just look forward. I know our paths will continue crossing as we move forward, and looking forward to it.
Great. Thanks, Michelle. Nice to have you as always. Okay, Chris.
I've just loved connecting with all you great people over the last several months, and just really look forward to doing more of that. And I'm feeling really behind and kind of overwhelmed right now. So just putting that out there. But anyway, that's all I have.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for being here, even with your overwhelm. Deborah.
Thank you, everyone, for accepting me in this group. I'm one of the, I'm in very much overwhelm right now, because I fly full time and trying to do the coaching and classes and all kinds of things that I'm not sure how I'm going to keep on doing this with energy wise. So I may not, do some of these complex cases right away type thing, because I have to get out there more. I've had two people that have been following me for the last couple, 3 years that are pilots, and they have been reaching out to me because they are feeling like that they're in overwhelm in their own families and whatnot. So it's really challenging in this career to do this. And but I know that this whole course has really changed me a lot, and it's helped me to be a better coach as I've moved along. But right now, I mean, we have to do it like in the middle of the week, which is really hard for me to get time off from work to do that. So I probably won't be able to do some of this, but I am going to try to get to Kimberly's class on the 3rd and 10th. So,
great.
But I really appreciate everybody and also this course, because it's really opened up my heart to the world. So
beautiful. Thank you, Deborah, so much. It's been a joy to watch your transformation also, all of you, really. Thank you. Janet.
I had no idea what I was getting into. I had a little idea about the course, but not a clue about the depth and the breadth of the work on myself and to be able to help other people. And then this glorious thing came along with meeting all of these other people that have become colleagues and friends together, that I didn't have a support group like that before. And I know now I have a group of people I can just reach out to at any time. And that to me has been value beyond anything. So I did not sign up for Kimberly and Tony. I want to. I don't know what process I need to go through, if it's through NEPT or I get a hold of Lynn or you, Laura. I don't know. So I'll be looking to that and your classes as well.
Yeah, Lynn can help you with Tony and Kim's class. For my class, because we don't have it up on this on a site yet, all you have to do is send a payment by this weekend to get the discount, and then we'll get you registered into it later on.
Okay, there I go. Something else I don't know anything about. What an adventure. Yeah. Thank you.
Who is the 763 phone here? Is that Jill? I don't know who that is. Is that Jill? Jill, are you still with us? Okay. So let me just... Oh, there she is. Okay.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I had some bad reception, and so I had to call in on the phone.
Okay.
Anyway, so you can, okay. So first, I just want to thank you, Laura, for presenting this class and giving us this opportunity. And I want to thank every class member, because you, it's kind of what everybody else has been saying, I feel a very safe place here. I feel camaraderie and support, and I just want to thank each of you. I learned so much from watching all of the videos, and that was very helpful for me. And I feel like, you know, it's continuing to help me to grow as a practitioner and as a person, and I'm looking forward to the future classes. I think I'm signed up for Kim and Tony's. and when I got, you know, cut off. So can I just repeat? It's $395 before Monday, and it's four. Is it three classes or four classes?
It's four classes plus a 30-minute consultation with me on a case of whatever you'd like to, or whatever you'd like.
You're
to.
Already yeah, you're already signed up. Yeah, you're already signed up for. Oh, for
I'm signed up
for the. Okay, I meant for Kimberly and Tony's.
Yeah,
those two, okay, those I am. And then the dates are they two-hour classes? Is it February 27, June 5, and December 4? And I didn't miss the other date.
They're in the chat here. Let's see.
She can't see that. February 27th, June 5th, September 4th, and December 4th. They start at 6 Central, and they're 75 minutes. So they're an hour and 15 minutes.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So anyway, thank you, everybody. And I look forward to seeing you, all of you, and whoever is going forward with in some of the other classes. So thank you very much.
Thank you, too, Jill. So I want to thank all of you also, because this is, first of all, my association with all of you is making me so much more conscious of my own nutritional health, and especially with the help of Steph, who has been my practitioner through, you know, lately, and really elevating my health in a whole nother level, which I'm so appreciative of. And Kim, you've chimed in on a few things too that have been extremely helpful to me. But more than that, I just feel so honored to work with such high level of integrity people, as every one of you is, and have taught me so much. And I feel like I've grown as a result of the, you know, the opportunity to take this work and translate it for health practitioners. It's taught me more about the work that I do too. So I'm learning by teaching you, and I'm so grateful for all of you. And I'm so moved by the integrity and the passion and the kindness of each one of you. So I feel incredibly blessed to be with this group and with this, you know, and to have this opportunity with Dr. Rita Marie and all of the people that that are attracted to her. It says a lot about who she is, also that she attracts this kind of person to her fold. And so I just feel really honored to be a part of it myself, and appreciate this opportunity and look forward to more. So I will miss this particular configuration, but we'll have another one starting soon, in just a few weeks, actually. So I hope I see as many of you there as possible. And I'm here for you to support your journey in whatever way I can, however that looks. So God bless you all. See you soon, I hope. All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.